You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
There's a type of complication during pregnancy that occurs with some women that can be best described as morning sickness on steroids. It's called hyperemesis gravidarum, severe nausea, vomiting several times a day, weight loss, and dehydration. And joining us to talk about her use of cannabis to help her get through this is Olivia Brown of Hamilton, Ontario. Olivia, thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
How many weeks into your pregnancy did you start to feel sick?
Oh, geez. Well, my first pregnancy in 2008, I was violently ill probably 3 weeks into the pregnancy, which is almost unheard of. But I made it a couple weeks. I didn't know what was wrong. And I was actually hospitalized 7 weeks pregnant. So it was pretty serious.
And were you sick throughout your pregnancy?
Yeah, right until the child was born. Yeah.
And then you were crazy enough to have another one.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Two more after that, actually.
Oh, two more.
Yeah, I have three total.
Did you have the same issue with those pregnancies?
Yeah, I was optimistic. I kind of thought, oh, it won't be so bad, or that, you know, that couldn't possibly happen again. And it did, and it was worse each time.
Wow.
Are you going to have more?
No, I'm done. No, I've pushed the envelope as much as I'd like to.
Olivia, what were some of the triggers or foods or liquids that caused you issues?
Oh, I was actually an extreme case, as some women are. I think it's 3% or 0.3% of the population. I couldn't eat anything. I lost 30 pounds. I couldn't even hold the water down at my worst. I was hospitalized and had to be on, I think it was 7 IVs in 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, so this was a life-threatening kind of thing.
And I suspect probably somewhat life-threatening for the fetus as well, if it's not getting nourishment.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Olivia, one of the things that I learned this morning in doing a bit of research on hyperemesis gravidarum, it was a comparison between morning sickness and let's just call it HG. And morning sickness is nausea, which sometimes is accompanied by vomiting. For hyperemesis gravidarum, nausea accompanied by severe vomiting. Morning sickness lasts maybe 12 weeks. The nausea lasts about that 12 weeks. With HG, it goes on indefinitely, does not subside. There's vomiting, and you know all about this, but most people don't. I guess it'd be safe to say it's a very, very severe form of morning sickness that just doesn't go away. From start to finish, you've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. And most women, I'd say 90%, get immediate symptom relief as soon as the baby's born. But some women continue to be sick for a couple of weeks, which makes me believe it's a little bit hormonal. Because that's the only way that would explain that. But that's a really nice definition of it. Even trying to touch the severity of it, like I couldn't drink water. So I don't know if people can actually comprehend how serious that is. But you simply can't survive without drinking water at a minimum. And when you can't do that, you're in big trouble quickly. So I was sick for maybe 16 hours straight before I thought, you know, I don't think this is normal. I really think I have to go to the hospital. So I was about 5 weeks pregnant with the second pregnancy when I was hospitalized. And so what I was doing, I was trying to make Rick Simpson oil for very, very sick people. And when I couldn't get out of bed to do that, I knew I was in trouble. So when I went to the hospital, they prescribed me an anti-nausea for cancer patients because it's the only thing that they thought could touch my symptoms. So I asked them, I said, what are the studies? What are the effects on the fetus, you know, after it's born, 5 years later, 10 years later? And they couldn't answer me. So that concerned me a great deal. So I took a couple of those pills, and they provided some relief. I don't know why I didn't think of taking the Rick Simpson oil sooner. But it came to the point where, you know, I can't be, you know, hurting the fetus taking this medication. So I decided to not take that that pharmaceutical, and I decided to try the Rick Simpson oil, just a little bit, just to try it. And about an hour later, I fell asleep for 8 hours, which I hadn't done in months. And then all of a sudden, I woke up, and I jumped out of bed, and I went into the fridge, and I opened the fridge, and I was starving, and I was looking at food. And I hadn't done that in weeks. And I realized that it was the Rick Simpson oil that had done that. So it was just a total 180.
How long into your pregnancy did you take the Rick Simpson
oil? I think I was 7 weeks pregnant with my second pregnancy. So it was about 2 weeks after being in the hospital.
Did you continue to take it throughout your entire pregnancy then?
I had to. I had to take it every 8 hours or I was on the floor in bed, unable to function, couldn't do anything. But with the oil, every 8 hours, I was able to eat, I was able to drink, I was able to get out of bed, I was able to do laundry, I was able to stand being in a vehicle for more than 5 minutes because of the motion. I was like 90% myself. But I had to take it every 8 hours. As soon as it wore off, I was... It feels like you're being poisoned. And that's a nice way to put the feeling. It literally feels like you're so sick that someone's poisoning you. Like there's something so wrong, you're going to die.
How much did you take?
I had to take a lot to deal with the nausea. So I was taking probably, honestly, between 0.25 and half a gram a day of oil, and I had to take it every 8 hours.
But it allowed you to eat and essentially function normally.
Oh, yeah. Well, it saved my life, to be honest.
You lost 30 pounds.
And this is with the oil. When I say I was able to eat, I mean I was able to eat watermelon, you know, and I was able to drink water and keep it down as long as it had lemon in it. But without the Rick Simpson oil, I was in big trouble. I was in a lot of trouble.
Were your doctors aware of what you were doing?
Yes, because I'm the type of person where I'm brutally honest with medical professionals. I feel like that's the very least they ask of us. So, you know, we can at least do that. So I used midwives, and they knew of my activism and my university interest, so they kind of knew I was using cannabis already, but they had no idea it was keeping me alive.
Olivia, have you heard or have you helped other people, other women who have this hyperemesis gravidarum?
Oh, yes. Yeah. As soon as I figured out it worked for that particular illness, I told everybody I knew who was pregnant, was thinking about being pregnant, any guy that I knew that had a girlfriend, everybody, anyone who would listen.
And they tried it and it worked just as well for them as it did for you?
Absolutely. There's actually more than one support group on the various social medias that that support this 110% because it's the difference between, you know, a healthy pregnancy somewhat and maybe no pregnancy. It's a needed medicine to treat HG, and I really wish women knew that, and I really wish a lot of nurses and hospitals knew that as a first kind of treatment plan instead of you didn't even know it was a viable treatment.
Do the doctors in hospital know this?
No, they wouldn't believe you if you told you. If you told them anyway, they just... No, they almost don't want to know because it'll shatter everything. You know, they've paid, you know, $200,000 for school and you're going to tell them something different. So that shatters everything that they've been taught and they believe. So I can kind of understand their hesitancy with this medicine. However, when this many people are having this much success, there comes a time where you can't ignore it.
I'm assuming that your babies were all born a healthy weight and they're 100%.
Yes, that is something that I really, really need to talk about. So there are a couple famous female activists out there. I'm hesitant to name names, but there seems to be some kind of a bandwagon that some of them are on, and they're saying that THC in any amount, but especially large amounts, is harmful on a young and developing brain. So if I took huge doses of high THC, Rick Simpson oil, made the old-fashioned way with naphtha, if I took huge, huge amounts during the entire pregnancy and all of my children are not only healthy, but noticeably thriving more than all the other kids in the city, it can't possibly be harmful in any amount.
Well, I was just trying to figure out how much you took. If you took a quarter of a gram a day, let's just say a quarter of a gram
that's
a day.
That's at minimum.
That's a minimum.
Half a gram?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, quarter of a gram a day, that's 7.5 grams a month. So you do that throughout your entire pregnancy. You took a lot of oil, even in that minimal amount. Yet your children are healthy, they're thriving. And there are no medical issues that you're aware of with your kids?
None. Like, minus none.
When you talk about something like cannabis to someone who has been trained in the conventional allopathic medical system, this defies everything that they've learned. It destroys their paradigm. And quite frankly, a lot of them are very reluctant to embrace it or even get down and try and do some research on it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just been a total uphill battle because I've been trying to use this medicine legally in Canada for years, but I've been pregnant off and on, you know, for the last 8 years, and my doctor has kind of used that as some sort of excuse as to not allow me to legally consume this medicine documented, which is all I want. I just want to be documented that I'm using this medicine successfully. So after I was finished all my pregnancies, and after I was finished a year and a half of breastfeeding, and so this just went on and on for about 16 years, I finally got legal. And yeah, that was one of the issues that I had. Is this going to hurt the fetus? Is this medicine safe for the baby? So when I was in bed, and this is literally life and death, this is, I can take this pharmaceutical that nobody knows the side effects, or I can take this natural medicine. And I have heard of this study done by the female American doctor in Jamaica. And I just knew inertly that this medicine would not and could not hurt me. I just knew it.
The interesting thing that doctors aren't aware of is that when a mother breastfeeds, she is giving her child cannabinoids.
And I just recently learned that as well.
We interviewed Dr. Dave Hepburn, who is a doctor here in Victoria, who is one of the progressive doctors, I think you could say, who, Corey, you were at a conference with him a couple of weeks ago in Vancouver.
Right.
When he addresses an audience and addresses doctors, he will say, how many people in this room have cannabis in their system? And he'll say one or two very weak hands go up. And he says, you all do. Everybody does. Cannabis is in our system. It is something that we need.
Yeah, and that's kind of new information to a lot of people. And it's extremely hard to believe when we've been taught our whole life that, you know, this is something bad. And especially even lately with, I love CBD. I want to be on the record. I love CBD. It's a great thing. It helps a lot of people. However, there's nothing wrong with THC, and there's nothing wrong with the effects of THC.
Okay, Livia, tell me about some of the other work that you do helping people. You mentioned earlier that you help others.
Okay, yeah. So when I first, my journey started in 2011 when I saw Rick Simpson's Run from the Cure. And for some reason, I just knew he was telling the truth. So that was fantastic. And as soon as I figured out that this medicine was truly helping us instead of harming us, I jumped on the bandwagon and started to tell everybody about that. So when I started kind of looking at the other leaders in the movement, or who I thought were the leaders, I started to notice that there wasn't a lot of educated professional people that I could go and ask questions or go to for advice or what have you. And I wanted to change that because I noticed that some people were starting to look to me for advice. So I saw a 9-part documentary series called A Quest for the Cure for Cancer. And it was fascinating. And it started talking about chiropractic and reflexology being, you know, some type of viable natural treatment for a lot of illnesses that people suffer from. So people are suffering from either an autoimmune disorder or inflammatory problems. So chiropractor and massage and float therapy and different types of, you know, methods of taking care of yourself are proven to be really, really effective with treating and preventing a lot of diseases. So when I went to school, I thought, well, I'd like to do something like reflexology or massage therapy that I can incorporate cannabis into. And I also would like to be certified in my hometown of Hamilton, Ontario, and my province of Ontario, Canada. So I looked on the internet and began my professional career in cannabis medicine. I also started university courses online. However, they are approved by the American Medical Association and the Canadian Medical Association. And these are continuing medical education credits. And I have all of them that are available to the public. But you do have to have a prerequisite of some kind of medical history to get these. And I did all the required things.
So tell me about some of the people that you've helped. Give us some case studies that you've people you've worked with and you've been successful with.
Oh, well, my second business, Cannabis Infused Reflexology, that kind of happened by accident. So one lady was in my office being treated for reflexology, and she had been in a car accident, and her knee was terribly, terribly swollen. So I had some cannabis-infused coconut oil, and it just made sense to me to use this on this lady who was suffering so much in front of me. So I put it on and continued the treatment for reflexology, and about 5 minutes later, because she had her eyes closed, she said, "What did you do to me?" And I of course, I panicked because I think I've hurt her or something. And I said, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "Well, my knee doesn't hurt anymore." And I said, "What?" She said, my knee doesn't hurt anymore. So I showed her what I did, and she said, "That is just fantastic." So she came the next week and the next week, and I actually taught her how to make her own, and she's been using it ever since.
So her results surprised even you.
Yeah, because she was in severe pain, and this was almost instant relief, and she was trying pharmaceutical grade creams and topicals and even steroid creams and all kinds of things that weren't having any success. So for her to find relief in something so quickly and so naturally, yes, it was a huge shock. Absolutely.
Does it even surprise you sometimes how well this works?
Yes, almost weekly, I'm getting phone calls of updates of people I've helped previously, and I can still say after, 6 or 8 years of doing this, not one person, not one, has called and said, I really don't think this medicine is for me, or I don't think it's working for me, and that says a lot. That says a lot to me right there.
Yeah, Olivia, I of course deal with a lot of people as well, and particularly those with cancer. And even in every single instance where we've lost someone, without exception, every single time the family has said what a difference cannabis made to that person's quality of life.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. So I have lost one person I was trying to help, and this was before I fully understood how much damage and harm chemotherapy and radiation did. And I know from reading Rick Simpson books that towards the end of his, helping people in Canada, that at one point he almost kind of refused to help people that had done chemo and radiation. And I was a little bit surprised, as other people were, but now I completely understand. So I had a lady, she was in her early 40s, 2 kids, and I don't know if these people are properly diagnosed. I have no idea, but apparently this lady had pancreatic cancer. And they had given this poor lady, I think, 5 rounds of chemo and radiation in a very short time, in a few months. And I honestly didn't know how much damage that it does to people. I had never been that close to it. So I go there. I go to her home, and I'm very positive, and I'm very, very happy. And I help her and her husband understand this medicine and the effects and everything. And 2 weeks later, she passed away. So that was a hard lesson that I had to learn, that this medicine is great and it helps, 99.9% of people. But the chemo and radiation, the damage that it's doing to people, it has to stop.
It's like horrendous.
Immediately. Like, I had no idea. Yeah, I can't even believe that they're... is a medical establishment supporting this kind of barbaric treatment, if you can call it that.
No, I think it's an apt description, because I think 100 years from now, people will look back at the 20th century and say, my God, these people were barbaric.
If I was doing something for 40 years and it wasn't working and it was hurting people, I would stop doing it.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a no-brainer.
And if I do something and it helps somebody in 5 minutes, I'm going to concentrate all my energy, all my time, all my resources on that and nothing else.
But Olivia, we know what's behind it. It's money.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just so the polar opposite of these types of people. It's hard for me to even be in the same room with them, let alone talk about them. So yeah.
What happens if you get a couple and one is supportive of cannabis and the other isn't. How do you deal with it?
I try and be as understanding and sympathetic with both parties, because I've been on both sides. I can remember myself as a young person with the idea that, if I had ever seen somebody, a female, let alone pregnant, smoking a joint or something, I would be appalled at minimum. How could you do that? I had no idea. And even there's also something else that a lot of people aren't talking about with this whole cannabis and finding out that it's not only harmless, but it helps everybody. Is there's a lot of kids getting in a lot of trouble with parents and school and even the police for something that is born into us, that we are supposed to be doing. And that disturbs me a lot, because I know that puts in rifts with parents and people's families and, parents' idea of their children and if they're doing well or not. And kids' cannabis use has little to nothing to do with anything else that's going on in the children's lives. Most kids are suffering from anxiety and self-medicating, not because there's anything really wrong. It's just it's hard to be a human. It's we need a little help. We need a little stress relief, and I would rather have teenagers reaching for a bong than reaching for anything else.
When you see your kids today, are they any different as a result of your use of cannabis when you were pregnant than other kids?
They're just...
Or are they too young?
No, I can tell. They're just healthier. That's the only way I can describe. That's the only difference. I did other things too. I when I was able to hold fluids down, I did juice. So there, I had a lot of extra nutrients that I guess a lot of Canadians or North Americans don't think about or don't have. So I was pretty privileged, and even the quality of my food, I got my food from organic farms around Ontario. So that was a lot less pesticides and stuff. So my kids, being the way I am, they were already going to have an advantage. But the cannabis oil, it just made them just a little bit better. Like they're a little bit bigger than they would have been. Their muscle mass is better. Their bones are probably stronger. My kids can take a hit and they can take a fall. I would say a little bit better than most kids. So I'm going to say that injuries, head injuries, bones breaking, my kids would have a lot less instances of that.
Well,
if there's a way I could document it, I would.
Yeah, I can hear them in the background. They're having fun.
Yeah, they're upstairs playing. Yeah.
Well, one of the things when you talked about bone strength, that's what cannabis does. It strengthens your bones.
Oh, absolutely. And we've been tricked to think that, drinking cow milk filled with pus and steroids and hormones, that's going to somehow make us healthy and strong. So,
Olivia, will you be giving cannabis to your kids when they get older?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I believe in everybody has a choice, number one. I believe that the age of choice with most things should be 18. So I think when my kids are 18 and they're curious, I'm a plethora of information, and I would love it if they came to me for information.
Olivia, the people that come to you, is it mainly cancer, or do you have people with various ailments that come to you as well?
It used to be a lot and exclusively cancer. Now, because of, I think, the internet and the information that's out there, I'm seeing a lot of everything else. And I mean everything else.
Well, it's interesting, when you are going to become a grandmother, you will have something to help your daughter-in-law.
Oh, absolutely! I wouldn't let. I wouldn't let any woman of any age or any background suffer needlessly the way I did, even for those few weeks. It's just unnecessary to be that ill.
You telling your story about how you were so nauseous and sick during your pregnancy
just makes you sick.
Makes me sick.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. The third time I got pregnant, I was actually I didn't think I was pregnant. I thought no, because it was 6 months after my second was born, and I thought no, there's no way. I had no idea what was wrong with me. At one point, and this is how you have to understand how sick you must feel. Every day, I actually thought I was being poisoned. I thought there's something in the house. There's wind. There's something, or a neighbor is really mad at me. There's something. I was that ill. I was seriously considering talking to my husband, talking to my doctor, going to the police. Like I didn't know what was wrong, and it felt so life threatening. You feel like you're going to die if you don't you get help. And at minimum, yet you have to tell someone when you're that ill. It's just who's going to believe you?
Yeah.
So I wound up in the hospital again, and it wasn't until I did a pregnancy test, and of course they let me wait the whole weekend, not knowing what was wrong with me. So I'm calling on a Monday afternoon, trying to get answers after being admitted on a Thursday. So yeah, this is a viable treatment, and it should be used immediately, and I think it should even be used preventatively.
What did your husband think of your illness?
Like me, we were worried about the concentrated THC, but I was too sick to even smoke a joint. The smoke made me ill. I didn't have a choice. I had to eat the oil. It was the only way I could get the medicine in me. The first concern was the high THC content. Of course, that was our number one concern. Our second concern was the oil that was being made with naphtha. Of course, it was made correctly. Of course. However, my husband's an engineer. He's a very, very smart man. And, consuming anything made with a solvent like naphtha, especially when pregnant, you'd be stupid not to be a little bit concerned. So we were concerned, but it was to the point where, I'm in the hospital on IVs, and they're trying to pump me with, I can't even pronounce the medications.
Yeah.
And I can't even describe the known side effects. So weighing the options, the cannabis, I just knew it was a less dangerous option. And not only was it less dangerous, it was the right option. It's nature's option.
Olivia, does your husband want more kids?
No. We love children. It's actually a deep part of our religion as a Rastafari couple to have plenty of children. But the pregnancies are just simply too difficult, and I don't think he could watch me go through that again.
Olivia, it was great to talk to you. It's the first time we've ever talked to someone who's had this hyperemesis gravidarum.
Yeah, I can assure you I won't be the last person you'll be talking to.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Olivia.
Okay, thanks, Corey.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, CannabisHealthRadio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.